And so as we come on this journey of prayer, today we want to talk about commitment to prayer. Commitment to prayer. That Christ, think about this, and he didn't have to be, but think about this. Christ was committed to prayer. And as we start on this prayer journey, we're going to be looking at different aspects to enhance our prayer lives as we go along the way. But you can't enhance your prayer life unless there is first a commitment.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us as we take a break from our prophecy series to begin a six-part teaching for Lent. Thank you for joining us for the first half of Committed to Prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Committed to Prayer.
Sermon. This is the first Sunday of Lent, and we observe it not necessarily with the traditions that have been manifested throughout the history of the church, but we observe it in lieu of the fact, as they read for us today, that we are anticipating the resurrection of Christ. And as we start on this journey, we are on the road to the resurrection, and we are going to travel it this year by the way of prayer. You may remember one of the things I said that we were going to focus on this year would be prayer, that where we're headed and the things that we are going to be doing. We realize that we've been praying all along, but you know, we need to step up our prayer lives. And so we want to encourage you as we go on this journey, that there will be messages on this journey that where we will look specifically at prayer, and hopefully at the end of this journey, as it was said earlier, that you might find that intimacy with God, that you might have a deeper level of intimacy with God, and that that level of intimacy might be through prayer. As the verses were read today, we read over and over again that Jesus prayed. Now, why did he have to pray? Right? I mean, really, he could perform miracles. He could do many things that the average person could not do and cannot do. You know, why did he even need to pray? He prayed because he wanted that intimacy with God. He prayed because he wanted that connection with the Father. And in having that connection with the Father, that the Father anointed him with the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, he was able to do great things. And so as we come on this journey of prayer, today we want to talk about commitment to prayer. Commitment to prayer. That Christ, think about this, and he didn't have to be, but think about this. Christ was committed to prayer. And as we start on this prayer journey, we're going to be looking at different aspects to enhance our prayer lives as we go along the way. But you can't enhance your prayer life unless there is first a commitment to prayer. You know, I titled this, The Few, The Humble, The Committed. You may remember years ago, there was a commercial about the Marines, and it said, the few, the proud, the Marines. Well, I want to challenge us, borrowing from that slogan, to say that there's few on this prayer road. But the ones on this prayer road, you can't be proud that you have to be humble. The ones on this prayer life, you are not Marines, but you are the committed. And as we look at Colossians 4:2, Paul told the Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer. Let that sink in for a minute. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be committed to prayer. How many of you in here are committed to prayer? Amen. Amen. You know, I know that when things bad happen in our lives, that you know, we get on our knees and call on the name of the Lord. And so we pray that there is that prayer. When we have things going on where we need to know God's wisdom and have his power, that we pray. But beyond that, where's your prayer life? Ooh, whoa, 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 whoa. Beyond that, where's your prayer life at? Yeah, we're going to talk about today what it means to be committed to prayer. Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer. This word devote comes from the Greek word proskuneteo, and it means this. He said, devote yourselves to prayer. The Greek word means to seize and not let go. To seize and not let go. It's like that dog with the toy in his mouth. That dog clamps onto that toy or rag or whatever it might be and begins to shake it. And sometimes we might want to take it out, but it's hard to take out. Why? Because the dog has seized it and won't let go. That's what Paul challenged the people at Colossae. He challenged them to grab a hold of prayer and don't let go. Over the years, I've seen here at Bethany Baptist Church, people who have seized prayer, have held on to prayer, and wouldn't let go. I've shared the testimony before, and you know, I was thinking about something that there's, you know, over the years, we've had a lot of new people come to Bethany, and some of the people that have been around have heard my stories and say, oh, there he goes, man, tell them that story again. But I'm telling it because there's new people here that... that haven't heard it. So I'm going to ask that if you've been here and you've heard it before, that you would pray that the Lord would use it in the lives of the people that haven't heard it before. But we had a saintly lady here years ago, Miss Dolores Howard. And her husband's name was Clarence. And we had the Hour of Power every Tuesday. And Sister Dolores Howard would pray every Tuesday for her husband to get saved. And a couple times she invited me over her house for lunch, because she just lived right around the corner. And I would go, and every time I'd go over there, Clarence would make himself scarce. You know, he would go out in the yard and work in the garden, or he would go upstairs and stay upstairs. And Sister Dolores said, I invited him to come and dine with us, but, you know, he didn't want to. And she kept praying for that brother. She was like that dog, right? She grabbed a hold of prayer. She seized prayer and held on to it. Every Tuesday, she would pray for his salvation. And Sister Howard passed away and went home to be with the Lord. And when she passed away, her husband, at 90-some years old, accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he was in a wheelchair, and he wanted to be baptized to follow up on his profession of faith. And so when we had baptism, they wheeled his wheelchair up next to the baptismal pool, and you know, we couldn't put him in the dunking, right? So I sprinkled water on him. Now, we do believe in immersion, so let me say that. We believe in immersion, right? So we take you down and bring you up. But some people can't get in the water. And so that was a way that we were able to baptize him. At 90-some years old, that he accepted Christ and got baptized. And, you know, when you think about Sister Howard, all those years that she helped, that she grabbed a hold of prayer and she wouldn't let go. Saints, I'm telling you something that's going to help you today, that you might not see the results right away, but grab a hold of prayer and don't let go. Be committed to prayer. When I think about this journey to the promised land that brought us to this sanctuary, it was prayer. I know saints were praying all over the place, all the time, and we had prayer online where we pray every Tuesday, rain, snow, leaves falling, spring coming, pray. We held on to prayer. And as a result, God has brought us where we are today. And it was a journey, just working through all the obstacles that we had to do to get in this building. But we stayed steadfast in prayer. We kept on praying. Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer. Are you devoted to prayer today? Again, we all pray when emergencies happen, when things go on beyond our circumstances, that we find ourselves before the throne of God. But do you pray without ceasing? I'm on a program entitled Hard Questions, and we recorded this last Thursday. And one of the questions that was asked in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about pray without ceasing. And somebody asked it, wrote the question in, you know, how do you pray without ceasing? You know, how's that possible? And one of the things that I said was that, you know, when it says pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean to clasp your hands and bow your head 24/7. That's not what he was saying. Paul was saying that as you go about your life, have an awareness of God. As you go through life, realize that God is with you, that he's walking and talking with you, and that you have that awareness that God is there, and that at any moment of the day, you can call upon him. At any moment of the day, you just call him, as the choir sang. You just call him, as the choir said. You just call him, and he'll be right there. And he'll be right there. Devoted to prayer. Years ago, God gave me an illustration on the power of prayer. And as I put this illustration together, I've used it every time that I've taught on prayer. And it's up on the screen right now. But it talks about the power of prayer. The more we pray, the more God unleashes his power on our requests. Pastor Glaze always says it, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. And so you see in this illustration that the Lord gave me that you are on the left-hand side at the bottom. You pray your prayers up to the Father in heaven. Now, what does God do? As you pray, God releases on your prayer requests his power, his conviction. He works in the circumstances. He sends witness. You know, that when you pray, you know, because it's easy for us to think that when we pray that we're not making any progress. Well, what's going on here? What's happening here? Or, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I pray and I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back down. But know this, by faith, that when you pray, God is doing something. That's why when I'm going through something, I try to share with people what I'm going through, because I know that through prayer that God is working. That if you're praying for a loved one to get saved, then what is God going to do? As you pray, what's God going to do? He's going to send conviction down on that person. He's going to work in that person's circumstances so that they will have to deal with the power of God coming down on their lives. So when we pray, our prayers are not in vain. We might not see God working, but he's praying. Let me share this with you. A group of physicians used a double-blind drug study of the efficacy of Christian prayer on healing. Patients from San Francisco General Medical Center were randomly divided into placebo and test groups. Patients in the test group were prayed for by Christians. The placebo group received no prayer. There were no statistical differences between the placebo and the prayer group before the prayer was initiated. The results demonstrated that patients who were prayed for suffered less congestive heart failure, required less diuretic and antibiotic therapy, and had fewer episodes of pneumonia, had fewer cardiac arrests, and were frequently intubated and ventilated. Wow. When you pray, God is doing something. When you pray, God is at work. Sometimes people want to throw their hands up in the air and say, well, I don't know about this prayer. I don't know if I should keep praying. My friend, if the sky falls down out of the sky, keep on praying. If it seems like the floods are rising up out of the ocean and slamming against you, keep on praying. Don't stop praying, that there is power in prayer, and realizing that there is power in prayer. I want to speak to you this morning about the commitment to pray. Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer. And when we look at the commitment to pray, there are three elements involved. I'm going to help somebody this morning. Might not be you, but I'm going to help somebody this morning. Three elements. When you make a commitment to pray, there are three elements that are involved: the plan, the practice, and the perseverance. The plan, the practice, and the perseverance. Those who are committed to pray first and foremost have a plan. What's your plan for prayer? Jesus, the Bible says, got up a long time before the sun rose, and he prayed. That Jesus had a plan. Jesus had a place that he prayed. I don't know, you know, what your plan is when you pray. You know, you can pray in the morning. You can pray in the afternoon. You can pray in the evening. You can pray different types of things, but I ask the question, what is your plan? And I just want to share with you real quick that there are four plans that you could have in prayer. First of all, there can be the spirit-led plan. Well, what plan is that? That's the plan where you ask God, you know, that to guide you. You say to the Lord, Father, I just come to you. And Lord, you guide me through my prayer time. Lord, that you lead me in the way that you want me to pray. Lord, you lay on my heart. You put burdens on my heart. You place things on my heart for me to pray for. That's the spirit-led. You know, you might not necessarily have a specific plan, but that's your plan. That's better than no plan. To say, well, you know what, I pray. Okay, well, what's your plan? You know, your plan might be, well, I'm just led by the Spirit. If that's so, man, praise God that you have a plan. There's what's known as the ACTS, the ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration is where you just come and you worship God and you adore God. The C stands for confession, where you go over maybe your day, you look at your life, and if there are things in your life that are not right, you confess them to the Lord. There's thanksgiving, where you give him thanks for the things that he has done in your life, that you cry out in thanks to him. And then there's supplication, and supplication is when you petition, where you give him your prayer request and you pray for other people. That's some people's prayer plan. They pray the acts. That's their prayer plan. Then somebody said, well, there's CPR. I like that one right there. CPR. And that's confession, praise, and request. Confession, where you confess to the Lord things in your life. P, where you praise the Lord. And then R is where you give your requests. A plan that I use during my prayer time is from Dick Eastman, and it's called the 12-step prayer plan. And if you go to that next slide, please. And, you know, this is where, and the name of his book is The Hour That Changes the World. And he breaks the hour down into 5-minute segments, and he gives you something that you can do during each 5-minute segment. So let me say this. Let me just go through this real quick. Praise. Then there's a time of waiting where you just wait before the Lord and you tell the Lord that you love him. There's a time of confession where you confess your faults to the Lord. There's a time of scripture praying where you may take a psalm and you pray that scripture back to the Lord. Then there's a time of watching. Remember, Jesus told the disciples when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they fell asleep, and he said, couldn't you watch with me? There's a time of just watching and for God to make you aware of things that are going on around you that you need to be aware of. Intercession, that's praying for others. Petition is where you pray for yourself. Thanksgiving is where you give thanks to God for what he's done. Singing is where you sing a song unto the Lord. Meditation is where maybe you pick a verse and you meditate on it. Listening is where you just stop and say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And then there's that time of finishing out with praise. This is my plan right here. Now, in my plan, do I go through all 12 of these aspects? No, not every morning. That there may be time that the Lord will stop me on confession, and I'll just be in his presence confessing. There may be times when something is going on in my family and I'm interceding. You know, I start out and it's my objective to try to get through, but I don't get sometimes. And then sometimes the Lord will take me past one thing and take me to another thing where I'm just sitting there listening to him, just trying to hear his voice. But that's the plan. So again, what's your plan, saints? Look, don't be like this guy right here. Don't be like that guy. Do I really look like a guy with a plan? Have a plan. And again, your plan might just be, again, so I don't want anybody to think they got to lock into something or, you know, they got to do something a certain way, that your plan might be, just, you know, I'm coming before the Lord and letting him guide me during my prayer time. And maybe you got another plan that you can share with us. And maybe that would be something for people to look at. But my saints, my friends, you got to have a plan as you pray. Again, Jesus had a plan. He got up early in the morning, and the scripture seems to say that was his habit of doing that. And he went up into a mountain, and we know on several occasions where he went up into the mountain. That seemed to be one of his favorite places to pray. So have a plan. The second thing is that we have to practice it. You know, it's one thing to keep...
Thank you for joining us today on And Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Committed to Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Committed to Prayer, you can contact us at AnchoredInJesus.org and request Committed to Prayer. That's AnchoredInJesus.org and request Committed to Prayer from our Lenten series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.